大学生英语在线，每天上午6:30，晚上11:00，与您准时相约。
大家好，这里是北京外语广播正在播出的大学生英语在线 Question of the Day， 我是 Larry。告诉大家一个好消息，就是我们的节目有一个官方 QQ 群了。QQ 群的号码是3317640，大家可以加入这个 QQ 群跟我们进行互动。每到周末我们都会聊一聊 TED Tech Talk 的内容，希望对大家的雅思口语和写作有所帮助。今天我们请到的老师还是环球雅思的壮壮老师。
Yes, hello everybody. And today we are going to talk about sports,
football, basketball, all of these sports.
对，但是大家最先想到的就是 football basketball， 就有点俗了，是吧？
嗯，
其实，在任何考试里边，你那个选材都是其实可以你设计的。那我们今天讲的一个运动叫 rock climbing， 你做过吗
？Rock climbing，
嗯，
我看到过，但自己没敢上去过。
哈，他这个讲的题目有意思，叫 9 life lessons from rock climbing。
A rock climbing 还有九个人生的课程，
对，人生道理是吧，就是你的这个经验和教训，而他讲的还挺好玩的。这一段呢不长，不到5分钟，那我们先放给大家听。
There are 9 sort of rules that I sort of discovered after 35 years of rock climbing. Most of them are pretty basic. Number 1, don't let go. I mean, very sure success method. But really truly often you think aboutletting go way before your body does. So hang in there and you come up with some pretty peculiar solutions. Number 2, hesitation is bad. This is a friction climb up in Tuolumne Meadows in the Yosemite High Country. And friction climbing doesn't have any sort of hard positive edges. It's sort of, you're climbing on little dimples and nubbins in the rock. The most friction you have is when you first put your hand or your foot on the rock. And then from that point on, you're basically falling. So momentum is good. Don't stop.Rule number 3, have a plan. This is a climb called the Naked Edge in El Dorado Canyon outside of Boulder. This climber is on the last pitch of it. He's actually right about where I fell. And there's about 1,000 feet of air below him. And all the hard pitches are actually below him. And so...Often what happens is you're planning so hard for like, how do I get through the hardest part? How do I get through the hardest part? And then what happens? You get to the last pitch, it's easy, and you're completely flamed out. Don't do it. You have to plan ahead to get to the top, but you also can't forget that each individual move you have to be able to complete. This is a climb called the Dike Route on Puak Dome up in the Yosemite High Country. The interesting thing about this climb is it's not that hard, but if you're the leader on it, at the hardest move, you're looking at about 100-foot fall onto some low-angle slabs. So you've got to focus.You know, you don't want to stop in the middle like Coleridge's Kublai Khan. You got to keep going. Rule number 5, know how to rest. It's amazing. The best climbers are the ones that in the most extreme situations can get their bodies into some position where they can rest, regroup, calm themselves, focus, and keep going.This is a climb in the Needles again in California. Fear really sucks because what it means is you're not focusing on what you're doing. You're focusing on the consequences of failing at what you're doing. Because any given move should require all your concentration and thought processes to execute it effectively. One of the things in climbing is most peopleSort of take it straight on and they follow the most obvious solution. This is the Devil's Tower in Wyoming, which is a columnar basalt formation that most of you probably know from Close Encounters. With this, typically crack climbers would put their hands and their toes in and just start climbing. The cracks are too small to get your toes into, so the only way to climb is using your fingertips in the cracks.And using opposing pressure and forcing yourself up. Rule number eight, strength doesn't always equal success. In the 35 years I've been a climbing guide and taught on indoor walls and stuff like that, the most important thing I learned was guys will always try and do pull-ups. Beginning guys, it's like they thrash, they get 15 feet up, and they can do about 15 pull-ups, right? And then they just flame out. Women are much more in balance because they don't have that idea that they're going to be able to do 100 pull-ups. They think about how to get the weight over their feet because it's sort of natural. They carry you all day long. So balance is really critical in keeping your weight on your feet, which is your strongest muscle. And then, of course, there's rule number nine. I came up with rule number nine after I actually didn't plan for a fall and went about 40 feet and cracked a rib. Once you get to that point where you know it's going to happen, you need to start thinking about how you're going to let go, because that's the critical piece of not getting hurt. How you're going to fall onto the rope, or if you're climbing without a rope, fall to a place where you can actually control the fall. So don't hang on until the bitter end. Thank you very much.
好，很快听完了。
Obviously, the speaker is a rock climber, and his name is Matthew Childs. 你觉得那个 Childs 这个是个生词吗
？Childs， 孩子，而且他还不是用正规的复数，他是 child， 后面加了一个 s。
对，所以这个老外的姓挺有意思的哈。
嗯。
And Matthew Childs shares 9 pointers for rock climbing. These handy tips bear on an effective life too. 啊，所以他就是在这个人生 effective life， 那英文喜欢用 effective 这个词，就是你要生活的有效。
嗯。
用 effective life， 以前不太注意过有这种搭配吧？
没有，我只知道 colorful life， wonderful life， 但从来没有听说过 effective life。
对了，
什么意思？如果用中文翻译的话是什么意思？
有质量的生活吧。好，他说的 nine pointers， point 就是那个点儿，是吧？你用那个 word 编辑的时候，你就会打上点儿，一条一条一条，那个就是个 pointer。好， nine pointer life， 你能想象的第一个，像那个攀岩这种运动，你都能想象出来它对你人生有什么启示？
启示就是啊，那很简单了。那你越往上爬，你要付出的努力越大。
对，不错，他提到了，是吧？有第一条就是要 be persistent， 一定要有坚持不懈的这种。而且他提到了一点，就是在半路的时候，千万不要 give up。啊，还有呢，就是你身体可能还没疲惫呢，主要的你觉得是先大脑先要有放弃的这个念头，还是身体先给你这个念头？
应该是大脑给你一个念头，你害怕了。
对。
嗯，
所以这个也是一个 license。 他说其实你的身体能支撑你的要比你大脑想象的要强大的多，就是你大脑可能发出的信号说不行了，其实你的身体还能再坚持一会儿。
嗯，真的是。而且是不是还有第三个 lesson， 就是永远不要回头看，你一回头看
就完蛋了，
就完蛋了，
尤其是不能往下看，所以要往前看。我觉得这个往前看在你人生里边身处一个大坎儿，一个什么想起来后怕的时候尤其重要。
嗯，
就得勇往直前，中文也是一样的，对吧？还能想出什么？反正人家归纳出九条，咱们看咱们能想出几条。你觉得这是一个孤独的事儿，还是一个群体的事儿？
我觉得这应该是一个孤独的事儿。
所以说他往往决策的时候你是没人跟你商量的，对不对啊？
对，
你必须你得要自己拿主意，是不是？ independent decision making， 我觉得这个是，如果是我想象了，我会想象得到。还有什么？
还有计划。就是一个人的体力啊，它是有限的，你怎么去规划自己的体力？你是一下子用掉你所有的力气，然后爬得气喘吁吁，到了中途没力气继续爬呢，还是有规划的一步一步往上爬？我觉得这个也是可能在我们人生中做一些计划的时候应该可以学习到的一些 lesson。
对，也就是说他在爬之前其实他应该抬头仰望墙上的那些疙瘩，或者真是野外的岩石，他最起码他应该看看。但是我看到有好多的照片，就是实际上在大自然中攀岩的时候呢，这个山什么你那个脚踩在哪儿，手扒在哪儿，你能看的高度在你这个启程之前是很有限的，是吧？然后呢，过了一段以后，你就只能是现发现这个地形和地势，现去计划。而这时候你计划的时间要长了的话，意味着你的那个腿、那个胳膊会越轻松还是越累啊？
越累，你得一直用力踩着呢。
没错，你还得扒着。
嗯。
所以说的话呢，有的时候你这个 decision 不光是你要有计划，你还得平衡好了，就是你花多长时间去做这个计划，你就必须不得不要迅速的做一个决断。 所以快速的判断，我觉得这应该是攀岩他应该具备的素质，就在最短的时间里边拿出最优化的，
不要犹豫。
对啊，您要是在那儿咔，你想三天，累也累死了，是不是？
嗯，对，
是吧？所以这一点，我就想起来有一个医生的朋友，他就说，那个医生在诊病的时候，或者你在那个手术台上判断的时候，就要特别快。那往往在电视里边你也见到过哈，做着半截手术，啪，医生说谁谁谁谁家属赶快来，这时候。我觉得其实真的是医生做判断他下不了手的时候。
嗯，然后这个时候如果家属一犹豫，那完了，那可能
对家属的这个决策呢，比如说要么往左，要么往右，他只能来一个决策。
嗯，
往往这个时候呢，大夫的他会告诉你，往左和往右的把握其实是各占50%，这时候就很要命。我就碰见过这么一个事儿，当时那个大夫跟我说，我很难抉择，他说我的把握各占50%。如果说一个是60，一个是40，那好办，对不对啊？
嗯，
我就不用问家属了，对不对？
对。
所以说呢，而且医生马上又补了一句，说我们也不是那算命的，也不能告诉你说怎么着一弄这个就肯定得好了。所以你作为攀岩的人也是，你要迅速的判断。如果你判断不了，你其实挺需要一个主心骨的。可是你在大野外的时候，你真不能喊，哎，哥们儿，我下面这手应该往哪儿动，脚应该往哪儿踩，你没这机会。是不是？提到这儿，我还记得以前就是在一个纪录片的这个研讨会上，他就讲在野外怎么去把这个攀岩的这个片子给视频给拍下来。那就是说，你这个机器设备是吧？你要是在平地上，你有那个摇臂像大老雕似的那个杆儿伸过去，怎么弄？在野外，这个设备就上去。结果最后拍的时候呢，是这俩哥俩。掌控摄像机这哥俩全是攀岩的运动员，然后他还得自己拍着，他还得回着头那么照，所以我觉得这个人的这个极限哈，还是挺值得敬佩的。好，那我们再听一遍，看看他提的9条都是什么。
There are 9 sort of rules that I sort of discovered after 35 years of rock climbing. Most of them are pretty basic. Number 1, don't let go. Very sure success method. But really, truly, often you think aboutletting go way before your body does. So hang in there and you come up with some pretty peculiar solutions. Number 2, hesitation is bad. This is a friction climb up in Tuolumne Meadows in the Yosemite High Country. And friction climbing doesn't have any sort of hard positive edges. It's sort of, you're climbing on little dimples and nubbins in the rock. The most friction you have is when you first put your hand or your foot on the rock. And then from that point on, you're basically falling. So momentum is good. Don't stop. Rule number 3.Have a plan. This is a climb called the Naked Edge in El Dorado Canyon outside of Boulder. This climber is on the last pitch of it. He's actually right about where I fell. And there's about 1,000 feet of air below him. And all the hard pitches are actually below him. And so...Often what happens is you're planning so hard for like, how do I get through the hardest part? How do I get through the hardest part? And then what happens? You get to the last pitch, it's easy, and you're completely flamed out. Don't do it. You have to plan ahead to get to the top, but you also can't forget that each individual move you have to be able to complete. This is a climb called the Dike Route on Puyak Dome up in the Yosemite High Country. The interesting thing about this climb is it's not that hard, but if you're the leader on it, at the hardest move, you're looking at about 100-foot fall onto some low-angle slabs. So you've got to focus.You know, you don't want to stop in the middle like Coleridge's Kubla Khan. You got to keep going. Rule number 5, know how to rest. It's amazing. The best climbers are the ones that in the most extreme situations can get their bodies into some position where they can rest, regroup, calm themselves, focus, and keep going.This is a climb in the Needles again in California. Fear really sucks because what it means is you're not focusing on what you're doing. You're focusing on the consequences of failing at what you're doing. Because any given move should require all your concentration and thought processes to execute it effectively. One of the things in climbing is most people sort of take it straight on, and they follow the most obvious solution. This is the Devil's Tower in Wyoming, which is a columnar basalt formation that most of you probably know from Close Encounters. With this, typically crack climbers would put their hands in their toes in and just start climbing. The cracks are too small to get your toes into, so the only way to climb is using your fingertips in the cracks and using opposing pressure and forcing yourself up. Rule number 8, strength doesn't always equal success. In the 35 years I've been a climbing guide and taught on indoor walls and stuff like that, the most important thing I learned was guys will always try and do pull-ups. Beginning guys, it's like they thrash, they get 15 feet up, and they can do about 15 pull-ups, right? And then they just flame out. Women are much more in balance because they don't have that idea that they're going to be able to do 100 pull-ups. They think about how to get the weight over their feet because it's sort of natural. They carry you all day long. So balance is really critical in keeping your weight on your feet, which is your strongest muscle. And then, of course, there's rule number 9. I came up with rule number 9 after I actually didn't plan for a fall and went about 40 feet and cracked a rib. Once you get to that point where you know it's going to happen, you need to start thinking about how you're going to let go, because that's the critical piece of not getting hurt. How you're going to fall onto the rope, or if you're climbing without a rope, fall to a place where you can actually control the fall. So don't hang on until the bitter end. Thank you very much.
好了，那这一遍播完了，是吧？所以我们讲的这个话题，如果是我问你 describe a sport，
那我就可以说 climbing 了 ，rock climbing。
对，而且你可以联想这九条人生经验，对吧？其实九条我们一般在话题里边
用不了那么多，
我觉得说三条就行了。
对，
那你觉得你应该那个 Larry， 你要是考官的话，你应该选那个前面三条，还是选中间三条，后边三条？从你的这个考官的心理上来讲，你愿意听一些个老生常谈的，还是应该听一些新鲜玩意儿？
我觉得我会听一些新鲜的东西，特别是口试的考官对着好多学生一天下来特别的累，如果能够有一些新鲜的点子让他们眼前一亮的话，他们一定会给你加分的。
对，所以说呢，大家在听这个时候的倾向一般是选前面三点，所以你在考试的时候你要有意识往那个后边去选你要的素材，这就是我提醒大家注意的，好吧？好，下面还有一段呢，来，咱们来听下面一段，也比较有意思哈。I'm going to the moon, who's with me? 这个 speaker 呢是 a maverick cave explorer， 这又是一个探险的人。他那个 maverick 这个词，我觉得大多数人都不太知道，我拼给你听哈，你看你知道不知道 ？maverick。
哎呀，我会和这个奇迹 Marvel 这个词联系到一块儿去。Marvel 和 Maverick 还挺像的，是不是说他是一个奇迹般的人呢？
对，标新立异的。然后这个人呢是 Cave Explorer， 洞穴探索者。
啊，那在洞穴里会有很多宝藏吗？
哦，爷，你好财迷啊！啊，这个人呢，他说是 He has plumbed Earth's deepest abyss。Discusses his efforts to mine lunar ice for space fuel and to build an autonomous robot for studying Jupiter's moon Europa. 所以这个其实它是有科研的色彩，一个词就是 abyss, A-B-Y-S-S, 这是深渊的意思。他一会儿在听的时候他会讲到啊，他们这一个团队啊一起出发，跑到一个洞里边呢，深入到这个洞十几天了，还没到底儿。这个时候呢，这个洞里就是一团漆黑，伸手不见六指的那样的洞。
嗯，
你敢吗？
我是不敢，我有这么长的洞吗？
对，就有这么长这么深的洞。
啊，我从来没有去过山洞，我去过的山洞可能一分钟就走出来
了。
对。
而且一般咱们去景点的山洞的话，人家都是事先开搞好了，给你弄点灯，弄点颜色，是吧？像那个桂林的溶洞那样的。
嗯，对。
他这个不的，他是纯自然的那种洞吧，就是特别黑，很亮的。
哦，这样，好的，那大家来听听看。
I'd like to talk to you this morning about a couple of projects that I'm working on. All of them involve exploration of geographical frontiers, two manned and one robotic.First place I'd like to take you is what many believe will be the world's deepest natural abyss. And I say believe because this process is still ongoing right now. There are major expeditions being planned for next year that I'll talk a little bit about.
One of the things that's changed here in the last 150 years since Jules Verne had great science fiction concepts of what the underworld was like is that technology has enabled us to go to these places that were previously completely unknown and speculated about. We can now descend thousands of meters into the earth with relative impunity. Along the way, we've discovered fantastic abysses and chambers so large that you can see for hundreds of meters without a break in the line of sight. When you go on a thing like this, we can usually be in the field for anywhere from 2 to 4 months with a team of as small as 20 or 30 to as big as 150. And a lot of people ask me, you know, what kind of people do you get for a project like this? And while our selection process is not as rigorous as NASA, it's nonetheless thorough. We're looking for competence, discipline, endurance, and strength, and the ability to diplomatically resolve interpersonal conflict while under great stress in remote locations. But we have already gone far beyond the limits of human endurance. The deeper you go, the more you run into a conflict with water. It's basically like a tree collecting water coming down. And eventually you get to places where it is formidable and dangerous. We have never seen monsters underground, at least the kind that eat you. If there is a monster underground, it is the crushing psychological remoteness that begins to hit every member of the team once you cross about 3 days inbound from the nearest entrance. Next year, I'll be leading an international team to J2. We're going to be shooting for minus 2,600 meters. That's a little over 8,600 feet down at 30 kilometers from the entrance. The lead crews will be underground for pushing 30 days straight. I don't think there's been a mission like that in a long time. Eventually, if you keep going down in these things, probability says that you're going to run into a place like this. It's a place where there's a fold in the geologic stratum that collects water and fills to the roof. And when you used to find these things, they would put a label on a map that said Terminal Siphon. Now, I remember that term really well for two reasons. Number one, it's the name of my rock band. And second is because the confrontation of these things forced me to become an inventor. When you do this kind of stuff, it's like doing EVA. It's like doing extravehicular activity in space, but at much greater distances and at much greater physical peril. So it makes you think about how to design your equipment for long range away from a safe haven. This gadget you see right here was called the Digital Wall Mapper, and it produced the first three-dimensional map anybody has ever done of a cave, and it was happened to be underwater in Wakulla Springs. It was that gadget that serendipitously opened a door to another unexplored world.
好，今天这一段呢，其实讲的你要是往运动上来说，这两个都是一种极限运动。
嗯，一个是 rock climbing 攀岩，另外一个是 cave exploring。
对，
是到山洞里面去探索。
对，探索这个洞哈、啊。然后呢，如果说我要是这个素材，第二个这个素材描述人物那一系列也又都可以用了，对不对？
嗯。
然后你也可以说这个描述过去的经历吗？
聊一聊别人的经历，
没错，
聊一聊自己可能有的经历，
对，或者是说如果你有钱你都想干什么，可以吗？
聊一聊你的梦想，
对，
聊一聊你最想做的事情，
没错，比如说我要上月球上溜达一圈也可以吧，
对
不对？或者是我要去到一个地球上很深的洞里边去探索也可以，对吧？
对。
那如果说我要是再问你一个题，你是喜欢那种一个人独当一面的工作方式，还是喜欢团队一起的工作方式？
这个就可以用到那个 climbing 中的一个 lesson 了。
对了，明白了吧？像有些事儿你是必须得一个人，可是呢，你像那个大家一起探索这个洞的时候，是互相可以壮胆儿，所以有些事你是需要和大家在一起的，对吧？
嗯、
所以你这个话题呢，两个你都可以去说。这个写作的时候就是这样，像你之前以前你也提到过，那要分了，如果小的时候就是家人影响大，长大了以后就是周围人影响大，同样的道理你就不能一概而论，到底是你应该独当一面还是要和群体一起 teamwork， 因为取决于你这个工作的性质，
是这样的。
OK 了，今天咱们就到这里。
好，那希望今天的话题对大家有所启发和帮助，如果你有任何关于英语学习的问题，欢迎大家跟我们联系，我们的邮箱地址是question@am774.com。 另外呢，告诉大家一个好消息，就是我们的节目有一个官方 QQ 群了， QQ 群的号码是331764040，大家可以加入这个 QQ 群跟我们进行互动。最后感谢同学们的收听，也谢谢壮壮老师的陪伴，我们下期节目再见。
再见。
Touch my hand.